This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week we're going to travel to a different part of the world than we have usually gone, and that is to Israel. Well, actually, Israel had come to us. I was recently at the Abbott's get-together in Colon, Michigan, and I ran into a friend I wasn't really expecting to see there. Of all people, it was Lior Manor, who is a friend of mine I have seen before at a few other places, like the Mindvention in Las Vegas, and he is a well-known mentalist for corporate audiences and has traveled around the world and has a very specific audience, I guess I could say, that he works for. And also a kind of thing that he has done has entertained executives really all over the world, and he's really quite the creator as well. And he had created something for me that I had used in a trade show, and we talk about that a little bit here on this podcast. I called this episode In the Classroom with Lior Manor for a couple of good reasons. As I mentioned, we were actually in Colon, Michigan for the Abbott's get-together, and the evening shows and a lot of the lectures and everything take place in the high school, in the gymnasium. Well, in the high school, there are many classrooms, and I was talking with someone who was in the administration and asked if we could have a quiet room, and she gave us certainly a good place there within the classroom where we could go and talk quietly and share some ideas, and I felt like I was studying at the feet of a teacher there. So I hope you kind of feel that same way as we welcome this week's guest, Mr. Lior Manor, here on The Magic Word. Hello. We are having a special guest. I always love talking with friends who are from across the pond or across wherever, outside of the U.S., and it's a rare opportunity when I get to actually be face-to-face with friends also who happen to be here in the United States visiting, and so I'm here right now with a friend from Israel, Lior Manor.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's Hebrew.
It looks like manor, M-A-N, but it's Manor, Lior Manor. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have a middle name, or what is your whole name in Hebrew?
I have a second name, not a middle name.
Okay.
But Manor is the part, I don't know how to say, there is a horizontal and a vertical part on a boat with
the mast.
Yeah, so it's this one.
Okay, the lateral.
Yeah.
The horizontal.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And so...
But it's
so the name actually would be what total?
Lior Hanan Manor.
Hanan,
which is difficult for Americans.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's easier for Spanish people.
Yes.
And actually, my name is coming from Rosenblum. Rosenblum, my family came from after the Holocaust. My father and mother came to Israel.
Mm-hmm. From Germany.
They were in Poland, in Auschwitz, and then they
survived.
Yeah,
they survived Auschwitz?
Survived Auschwitz, yes. And then they came to Israel. And after a few years, my father had to change the name to a Hebrew name. That was very common, to change the old names to a new name. So
why was that?
Just to be, more Israeli.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Interesting. I'm sorry, just thinking about that, as far as like with Auschwitz, and that I've spoken with some other people about that. You were not born yet at that time. So
No. I was born in Israel. My mother survived the Holocaust. My father was in the ghetto Warsaw, and then again in... Birkenau, and they even got married.
They got married?
After the war in Bergen-Belsen, which was a camp for survivors. So it's another different interesting story. And then they came to Israel.
So yeah. There was another camp for survivors.
Yes.
But it wasn't like a concentration camp. I mean, it was
No.
More like a holiday camp or something?
Holiday. You cannot call it a holiday.
Okay.
Over there it will be a little bit different. But they survived, and they met there, and... got married.
And then you were probably born when? Along about
62.
62. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I have a big brother, 54, and I 62.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just the two of you, you and your brother?
Yes.
And so were you influenced by, we were talking about beforehand, Uri Geller. Were you influenced by Uri? I mean, for some reason, it seems like that Israel is just full of mentalists.
Yes, yes, yeah. But none of them are like Uri Geller. Uri Geller is, I don't call him a mentalist. He's not doing chair routines or predictions or something, predictions of five cards hanging on a wall. Mm-hmm. He's doing the real deal.
Yeah.
So I was influenced by his charisma, by his ability to invent new ideas and concept, and by the way that he influenced people to believe in real mind reading.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like his approach of telling people that he can
that he has
heal
them,
and he can find missing soldiers, and he can, make you money in business, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as a magician, you don't like all this approach. But I can understand the way he can convince people, which is very important, and many magicians don't see how strong he does what he does. And everything that he does, you can explain in one sentence. It's not a, I counted 50 cards, and then he put the aces in the middle, and then I shuffled the deck, and then the Queen of Hearts was there. You don't remember after one. But when he is doing something, he bent a spoon.
Yeah.
I draw a picture, he knew what I draw.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to him on the radio, and he asked, and people called that the spoons or watches stopped working, So he knows how to do something, make it real big and focus, and you understand the effect.
Yes.
So it's a big difference between Uri Geller and a corporate mentalist. I'm a corporate mentalist. I do mm-hmm. mind reading shows, but again, I put a lot of humor and I do some stuff which is not pure mentalism. So, and even then, people are coming after the show and asking, can you help me? And what about my fiancé?
I understand that. I remember going to the Magic Castle many years ago and seeing Francis Willard and Glenn Falkenstein perform. And he was doing his blindfold act. And, of course, they were doing then their two-person
Q&A
and all that. But afterwards, people were lined up asking him, saying, who's going to win this or what about my job and all that. So people who really want to believe, and that was many years ago, and I don't think people have changed. They're still wanting, we all want to know what's going to happen.
Much more. I can tell you, even though I thought that because of all the technology and Facebook and everything, people are more into the psychic stuff.
In horoscopes and that kind of a thing?
Everything. Huh. And they want to, it's fascinating.
It's international. It's not just...
Yeah, of course. I do shows, all over the world, and it doesn't matter the States or Barcelona or Singapore. People are the same when you do something which amazes them and they believe it's not magic because you are not doing card tricks now. You are really revealing names and saying stuff that, or seeing without being blindfolded or whatever.
Right.
It plays very, very strong on them. And this is magic, by the way. When you do magic, you want to entertain, but on the other side, you want to do strong stuff, and mentalism is really strong.
Oh, when I think, for an example, about the amazing Kreskin, when he performs, he will open up with a magic trick, basically a ring trick, in which he just does the rings that are linked together, linking finger rings, and then he will go into mind reading and then muscle reading at the end and whatever to find his check or whatever. Do you, when you're performing at corporate audiences, routine similarly?
No. Completely different.
Okay.
I do like a stage show, which has only mentalism. I talk with myself on the big screen. I have an effect that I call talk to the screen. It's a plug.
What's the name of that trick, by the way? What's the name of the trick?
Talk to the screen.
Talk to the screen.
It's very expensive, and only professionals approach me. You cannot find it. It's only.
But if somebody is interested, how can they contact you?
They will find me.
Okay, fair enough.
I understand. I once saw Patrick Page doing a lecture, and somebody asked him, but where do you find these thimbles or whatever?
Yeah.
He said, if you want, you will find them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to help you.
Yes.
So you need to really want something to get it the right place. So I do a show, you know, Darren Brown, all these kind of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Although I started in 86, 87, 88, 90. I started doing only corporate events, trade mm-hmm. shows. And in 97, I started flying all over the world because of my degree in computer and computer science and math.
Mm-hmm.
I work for many high-tech companies, and I can speak like I'm an engineer.
Yes.
So, and I do all this cyber security. I will read your mind. It's like the cyber, and I read minds over IP and all the VPN jokes, and I know all the buzzwords. I make a lot of preparations with mm-hmm. the company. I spend a lot of time. A lot of time. It's not like, okay, come and do a show in Orlando for a conference.
Yeah.
No, I will learn, and people will think that I'm an engineer that can read minds. Because I'm coming also to promote the company messages.
Right.
So it's not just about me, it's about the company. So I'm helping. This is, again, a different approach. Most of the magicians and mentalists want everybody to remember them. I want them to remember me, but I want them to remember also what the company is doing. I'll show you in a minute a few things that I have in my bag. But so it's a show. It's like a magic show, a mind-reading show, a mentalism show, whatever you call it. It's a lot of mind-reading. I do a very long blindfold, like 35 to...
Wow.
It's really long. I think that it's
only... You put coins and everything on your eyes and tape,
etc. All the stuff, yeah. But, like Gil Eagles and Mark Salem mm-hmm. stuff. But a little bit, of course, different with different endings and some original approaches. But Blindfold is a very strong...
it is.
One of the best, if not the best. I used to have a television show in Israel.
It was your own show?
My own show.
Was it called the Lior Manor show? Or?
Klaf Chazak. It's a strong card. It's it's an expression in Hebrew that you cannot translate to English.
Okay.
So it's... Tim Conover was my advisor.
So that goes back a ways.
Yeah, he came to Israel for 11 days, and mm-hmm. we spent 11 days from 9 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared a lot of stuff. Most of it I learned from him, you know, because Tim Conover is like...
very creative, very brilliant and entertaining.
Never genius. Saw someone like him since, and I miss him a lot, as many other.
We're all looking forward to that Eric Mead book coming
out. Yeah, yeah. And Tim shared so much with me. And then he showed me some coin magic, and I said, no, don't let me know how it's done, because you do it so beautifully.
I just want to watch.
And I want to watch, and I want to have the feeling and to be fooled by magic. Although in mentalism, I don't want to fool people. Again, it's not a fooling people. It's like giving something more emotional or experience something else. So Tim was so strong, and he helped me in my television magic show, which was two seasons. And I also did 1 year in a talk show every week, 5 minutes. And in the year 2000, I did every week 5 minutes in a very highly rated talk show. So I was doing a lot of television show.
Mm-hmm.
For 6 or 7 years. And then I started flying because of Israel has hundreds of startup companies and high-tech companies.
Right.
Everybody wants to invent Waze, if you know, or the Disk on Key, or many other big innovations coming from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And
technical ones. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a lot of companies have R&D, research and development, stuff in Israel, like Google. They have a huge center. Intel, mm-hmm. has like 10,000 people are working in Israel for Intel. Applied Materials, checkpoint, which is the security of the internet, they started in Israel. They are still in Israel.
I didn't know that.
Very,
okay.
Very big. They invented the VPN, the firewall, stateful inspection for people who understand a little bit computer science, how you inspect every IP packet that goes.
The packet, yeah, right.
Yeah, so I can talk about it because I do mind reading over.
Yes.
I do stateful inspection to every IP thought that you have in your mind,
sending
every packet
back,
and we arrange them, so I can do a lot of stuff. If I do a magic square, it will be around, you know, what is trade shows.
Sure.
And,
so you started flying. You said they gave you an opportunity to start flying outside of just your
area. So because Israel is far away. To London, it's 5 hours. To Barcelona, it's 5 hours. To New York, it's 11, 12 hours. Going there, 11, coming back because of the
wind stream.
The wind stream. And that's why they called me 1A, because from day one I asked that I will get 1A, or,
the
you know,
number.
A seat number, or the business class. You always ask for it, because this company has a lot of, they have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's very important for them to bring entertainers that can do something special for them.
Right.
And not just somebody.
I want to go back to something you had alluded to a moment ago. What feeling or emotion or effect do you want to have on your audience? Because it sounds like you're not wanting necessarily to fool them so much.
Yeah.
What is exactly? What are you expecting?
I want them to have fun, first of all, because when I started to love magic as a young guy that saw a magician hero, found a magic shop in Tel Aviv, and I looked at it as a puzzle. I just wanted to understand how it works. I never wanted to do shows. When I did some show for my class, I was in a deep tension. I was afraid. I was shaking before that. So I did like one show. I learned how to play the organ. So all the children that learned together with me, we were 15, 16, something like that. I did a show for them and I was nervous. So I said, okay, I don't care about doing shows. I just want to have fun with some magic. And then I learned more math and computer science. I went to the army. I forget about it. And then I met Roni Shachnai, which was my teacher. Since then, and I saw him in a magic convention in Israel. I never knew that there are magic convention because Israel was far away, isolated. We didn't have so many flights as today. To fly there was like a big celebrity if somebody was flying outside of the country at 85, 80, 1980 or something like that. So Ronnie told me about, go to England, you will meet David Berglas, I will arrange a meeting with Al Woodrow, Alan Allen, Joe Elman, people from 13 Steps. So the world opened
to
for
you.
Me. And in Israel, it was more a little bit of illusions at the time and some children magic and a little bit of close-up.
The conventions or magic conventions reported that you kind of had a jumping off point where you started flying and going and doing some other things for these other countries and things then too.
Yeah. So in Israel, we started bringing people to from abroad like Jeff McBride and Patrick Page and Juan Tamariz. Yes, we were able to bring them to Israel for a convention. So we grow and grow. I became, 3 years ago, I became the president of the Israeli Magic Society.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
So tell me about the Israeli Magic Society. What's the population?
Now we are very big. We are like 200 people.
Oh, goodness. That's all of Israel.
Yeah, there are a few others which are not members, but most of the professionals are members, and many, many amateurs are members. We meet every month when we don't have pandemic, And
same place? I mean, which city? Where do you meet?
We meet in Herzliya because there is a big theater there, which is really easy.
In where? I'm sorry.
100 people in Herzliya.
Herzliya
is north of Tel Aviv, 10 minutes from Tel Aviv. Israel is very small, so most of the people are from Tel Aviv area, so it's really easy to get around. And since the pandemic, we are doing Zoom meetings every week.
Oh, okay. To get
every
together.
Every week.
So you probably have a pretty good size group that does that too.
Now we stopped a little bit because Israel was first to open. You know, we were the first to vaccinate it. So everything open and we let go a little bit for the Zoom. But
when you were also developing your corporate shows and parties and everything, I was thinking about trade shows because and trade shows, I think a lot about the company. I do a lot of research and everything, but if I'm going to go just doing a corporate after dinner show or something like that, I might incorporate a few things and I do some pre-show, but I really don't spend the time like you're talking about. But now a trade show, I charge more because I'm spending more time because I'm trying to attract people into the booth and to stop them and everything, which is I've got to compliment you again, like on the presentation of the Knights Tour of that you had developed that I bought and you helped me with
to specially design.
That's right. That was amazing because when I would have a mask on and then I would stop every once in a while and say, you know, like 12 or something, you know, we have 12 different plants or whatever, you know, and I'd look at the audience and see it was growing and growing because they see this big screen behind me and I have a volunteer who's each time, as people may or may not know about how the Knights Tour works, a knight will move one up and two over, and basically you're supposed to cover every square on the board without repeating and landing on the same square twice.
Exactly.
And at the end, whenever you do finish that, then the screen kind of pixelizes and has the company logo or message or whatever like that. Yeah. And so as you're doing that, more and more people are attracted, wondering what's happening over here, and you have a huge crowd by the time. That's a brilliant idea there.
Yeah. So again, I prepare special movies, or while we are talking, I will take from my special...
Yeah.
That, by the way, Chaim Goldenberg designed and did the program for that. This is, I'm not going to tell our audience what it is, but I'm going to let you see.
Okay, yes.
This is the best showstopper for trade shows because you give this to people.
Okay.
And they need to try to solve something here. But it's very difficult.
And they have
all the messages here.
Yes, right.
And if they don't know, I tell them, please take a scan this QR code.
Oh, the QR code on there.
And then they see a short video of me telling them, thank you for coming to Las Vegas trade show. And we would like you to sign here for more free demos. And the solution is that and that. But they can read everything about the company messages, but while they are trying
solve this little puzzle thing.
And they take it and they use it. And this company, Papaya Global, this is from 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. David Mead was also with me on the same trade show in Chicago. And they were three people, two from the company, which had only seven people, but two came from Chicago. I came also. Mm-hmm. And now they are $1 billion company.
Wow.
The woman is, the CEO is a very intelligent woman that did a few small exits, and this one is $1 billion
dollar
company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just went around and gave this one to people, and they watch and they read a little bit, and they did some magic. But
it's basically just kind of for people who are not going to go into describing it. It's just a puzzle, basically.
To produce one is $4.
Really?
Yeah, because the labor here to do all this part.
Yeah, the beads and everything.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a trade show, you can give 500, 1,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the company also take more for the next trade show.
Sure.
And this one, even people from the company, they can give it away. Mm-hmm. It's not just you.
Right.
So it's so you see, I don't care about myself here. I care about that the company will spread the message as much as they can. And that's why they like it. And after you close your fee, I always do an upsell. I say, you know, you can add a little bit more if maybe this one can.
And then you
help
send them a video to show them what they're
I show
they
them.
Can see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Immediately. Now it's easier with Zoom. Yeah. You do all these demos without going there, and everyone that I showed him this one, they immediately want to have it.
I like the upsell on that, and that's something very smart marketing-wise. When you, most times when you're doing an upsell, whenever you quote a price and someone will say, well, that sounds like a lot. And they say, well, you're also getting such and such. Yeah. On the other hand, if they say, that sounds great to me, okay, well, for a little bit more, you can add this on.
I heard it on the Michael Lamar.
Michael Lamar, that's right, negotiating higher
one
fees.
One of the best.
One of the best. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
I use it. I use all these marketing tools.
Yep, yep.
And because I'm doing a lot of MC work in many sales meetings, I listen what the sales people are talking about and the keynotes, and you say, here is an idea that you can use, and here is how to sell more.
Yeah.
And because I'm the manager of myself,
sometimes
I take 15% for myself, sometimes 20% fee for my work for myself. So I prefer everything will stay at my house that I'm not going to give to
an outside agent.
So you need to act like a salesperson and try to do upsells, try to sell more. When I do Zoom shows, I can sell my show and I can sell my platform, which is my Zoom studio with the person who, it's my son, who is operating everything.
Right.
So
I know that we have had some Zoom shows here of late in which there was an online magic or a mentalism convention, I guess, if you will, and you were on there and had some excellent ideas and some things you were selling and special deals and everything, but it seems like you're always coming up, I mean, you're almost the Jay Sankey of the mentalism world, whereas Jay always comes up with all these creative ideas. It's like, what's Lior Menor got today? You know, you have a lot of really cool things that are coming out.
Not so much as Jay Sankey. Yeah, but, you know, at the beginning people said, oh, what are we going to do? No shows, nothing. And we cannot be funny over over Zoom. It's difficult. We need... But we all the time are talking about innovation.
Yes.
And we are very creative. And after, you know, a few days, everybody came up with some ideas how to do it better and better.
Right.
And all this OBS stuff that can help you see the audience and make them big. And I even had few shows that we didn't have an audience. It was like a big webinar. I did a show for IBM for 3,000 people.
Yeah.
But I can see only one.
Okay.
One for all this show. The host of the show is the only one that I can speak with. She was in England somewhere in a studio. So my son did a fake screen with people applauding, a video of people applauding around me. So when I finish something, you see many
people
are applauding around me. Now, they don't know that...
That
it's
wasn't
not
live
them.
At the time.
Yeah. So, you know, many ideas like that to make it more live and a lot of interaction, and you can do a lot of things that you cannot do.
Right.
Because of the behind the screens are right here. If somebody wants to hand you something, it's really easy to get material. And it was one of the best years. The Zoom with so many ideas and so many shows. In the morning, I was doing a show for applied materials in Taiwan. In the noon, for somebody from Germany, and in for San Francisco late at night, Israel time, for a cyber company. So,
do you think those things will continue on into the future?
A little bit,
not
a lot.
20 years, you think they're going to fall off?
Now in Israel, it's almost dead because everybody is out.
Coming back.
But I have a very big project for Facebook.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 2 days. And again, it's huge. Thousands of people with special effects. And how do you do Zoom for 1,000 people? You can do for 1,000. But for many thousands, it's difficult. So
I hadn't thought about that.
We stream from one computer to another. We have many,
right?
Many ideas again to overcome many problems that everybody will feel that they are. There are 1,000 that can participate, 1,000 think they can participate. They are not in the game at all.
But they think they are. I understand.
You know, so many interesting ideas and many new areas, not just the magic itself, the business, the... My son learned how to edit, how to build a studio. Many people, Gidi Livne in Israel, he started all this idea about using the OBS and how to make it look better. And I have a Facebook group with 3,600 people.
Yes. I was going to say.
About Zoom. I open it.
And what's the Facebook page? Is that a private group?
You need to apply that we know that you are a magician. You need to tell us the two books that inspired you and answer some question and agree that you are going to be nice.
Okay, of course.
You can be not nice in other groups or other forums.
Not here.
But here it's just for, you know, professional people who wants to learn. So it's a lot about the technical side, not just the magic side, a lot about the technical side of...
What's the name of the group?
Zoom Magic and Mentalism.
Zoom Magic and Mentalism. Okay,
yeah.
So they can type that in, look for that, and then request to join the group.
It's a closed group, but you can see it. You can find it.
Yep, okay, interesting.
And really many interesting people. Everybody is very helpful, sharing a lot of ideas.
And, speaking of that and sharing ideas and conventions, early kind of circling back to that, I know you have attended also Mindvention from time
many
to time.
Many years ago.
Yeah, when Danny Archer would
host these. Yes.
Back when Bob Cassidy was still alive, I think, first
Most of the time I go to the PEA, Psychic Entertainer Association.
Does that PEA convention, is that held in different places? Or
every year in a different place, yes.
Okay, but it's in the U.S. always, is that correct?
Yeah, until now it was always in the U.S. and looks like it's going to be in the U.S. because the majority of the members are from the U.S. Mm-hmm. As you know, many people from the U.S. don't have even a passport.
Right, to get over.
It's going to stay here. I say here because we are here now in the U.S.
Here in the U.S. right now, as we're speaking here in Michigan. So the PEA, by the way, for those who are listening, many of you are mentalists who might be listening to this particular episode. The PEA, as you may or may not know, is the Psychic Entertainers Association. And the current president is who?
There were elections. Who took over? I will find out while we are talking because I wasn't at that meeting.
Yeah, but the PEA, it's interesting also, is one of those organizations that shares with each other because they recognize that we're all within this kind of a niche area, basically, and they do help each other, much like we've talked in the past about the 4F convention where they're close-up guys and that we share a lot of ideas. And when you're with people who are on a similar level as you, you don't mind sharing ideas as opposed to what they might say, casting pearls before swine. You know, people who really are not going to do anything with it just want to know the secret for the sake of the secret. But in the case of the PEA, that's very tight-knit group, and they also have a good forum online that you can sign into as a member of the PEA and exchange ideas, and they will talk back and forth. And a lot of people have it predated Facebook, as I recall, even their forum that they had from way back when.
Yeah. Many people, many great people are members.
Yeah.
We were
just
talking about Banachek, of course, and Ted Karmelovich and Ken Weber and Bob Baker and
Gil
Mark
Eagles.
Saylor and
Gil
Eagles, of course, and many, many great. I met, actually, for the first time, I came to do a show at the PEA in 1997 in New Jersey, and there is where Ken Weber saw me the first time, and Mark Salem, and Bob, and Ted, and all these guys.
Right.
Since then, we are a close friend. Mm-hmm. So I just arrived to New York 3 days ago, and we did our annual dinner. When I come, we have a special dinner that we did do with Bob Baker, and then we take a special photo on the stairs, and...
Speaking of which, how is Rick Maui doing? Have you talked to Rick recently?
No, actually, I don't know him.
Maui, Rick Maui?
I know who he is, okay. But I don't know him personally.
Okay.
Yeah, never. You know, I don't know many people.
Well, by being a member of these organizations, yeah. You know of them, or you're kind of interacting yeah. with them, perhaps online or something. So, but again, going to Mindvention a few times.
Yeah,
years ago
I met him yes. there. I bought yeah. something from here. Yeah. From him many years ago, yeah. This is what I remember.
Yeah, and Doc Hilford's another great guy.
Yeah,
you know.
Of course.
And he's a fellow that is a lot of fun. I had a good episode. Did you figure out who the president is there yet?
I'm looking while...
Okay. Was Richard Bush ever the president? I know he was the author of the...
I don't think newsletter. He was a president, but okay. he's very
involved.
Active.
Yeah, Richard yeah. Was the one who was the author of Peak Performances. That was the
yeah,
only other
course.
Book that... Banachek and I had published, other than Banachek's own book, a Psychological Subtleties book.
It got some bad reviews from somebody that doesn't like yeah. Mentalists, but it's a very good book with a lot of real stuff. But I think that he changed his mind.
Later, yeah.
Many people were, they like to attack when you come up with new stuff because they don't understand it and mm-hmm. they don't like many magicians were against David Blaine mm-hmm. at the beginning and they didn't understand what he was doing or against Darren Brown.
That's true.
Because, you know, Tim Conover many years ago told me, you know, everything was done in mentalism, it become boring. Mm-hmm. And 2 months later, Darren Brown did his first show and changed everything again and make it so popular. Again, in Israel, there are more mentalists than...
And why is that?
Because we are very small. Mm-hmm. Very small in the size. We
the
were very...
Yeah.
Now we are 8 million. It was, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
And there were only two channels on television. I was doing a lot of television, so many people saw me. And there was a demand because I started doing for these companies. And when I wasn't free, I gave a few shows to a few other friends. So they started also doing this corporate stuff over there. Mm-hmm. And there was a market, and the market was growing. And again, now you have YouTube and many shows on televisions. On television many years ago, you could see David Copperfield or Paul Daniels in the UK. And slowly, slowly, now magic is like... everywhere, so more people are seeing magic and are exposed to magic, and more of them wants to be magicians, you know.
Well, Uri Geller also had a TV show for a while, The Next Phenomenon or something like that.
It was a very strong show mm-hmm. because it started in Israel, the first
right.
one, and Leo Souchard won the first
That's
prize,
right.
and mm-hmm. he became very, very famous and very
internationally. Because I've seen him like on some of the late night talk shows in the U.S.
Yeah, he fly.
Leo Souchard. Yeah.
He fly all over. Did 5 times at Jay Leno, mm-hmm. and
he's a good-looking, handsome young man.
One of the most important secrets mm-hmm. to be a big star. You know, star quality. It's not enough to do a good center tier.
What do you think that it factor is? What do you think, Leora, is a thing that gives one person that it factor? They could both do the same trick and do it very well.
The charisma, the personality, the way you look at things. Many magicians, they want to do the... I want to produce the four aces.
Okay.
I don't look at the audience. I don't care about you. I care about myself.
Hmm.
And many people know how to be a big star, but to give these people a different experience because they look at you and they admire you. If he's, I'm not good looking, but he is good looking. So I use more humor to compensate about... my look.
Perhaps be a little self-deprecating, like if you're overweight. That's the elephant in the room. You draw attention to this, say, okay, let's get that aside.
You know,
when
I lost 10 pounds in the last week, but when I started the show, after a few minutes, I said, this woman looks at me and she thinks that I'm a little bit overweight,
mm-hmm.
which is true. Some people, you know, this is what they have in their
mind.
And when you say it, you see that they are...
a little uncomfortable.
And you know what? It's a mistake because last week I was even 10 pounds more. Now I'm going down. So
Come to my next show.
Yeah, so for her now, although what is her business if I'm fit or not fit? Mm-hmm. But again, because of the culture in the world, they want to see good-looking people. Mm. And most of the time, this is what you see on
television, right?
Yeah, and again, all this charisma and the energy that you project and your approach to people and your approach to what you do. And sometimes Uri Geller is fascinated about what he did. Look, the spoon is bending. Wow, amazing. Is it amazing? Wow, look at the spoon. It's still, although it doesn't move anymore. Look.
Right.
It's crazy. About the picture, concentrate. Da-da-da-da. It's the same. Look, everybody, he runs away and is now...
He's excited.
Making, isn't it? He tells you that it's impossible. He tells you it's amazing. He tells you again later, you go to your friend and you repeat what he told you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not like, remember, you shuffled, you cut the deck, you took the seven of clubs, you put it wherever you... This is nothing that to remember, because nobody remembers. There are no emotions of cutting a deck and shuffling and people...
Just mechanical.
It's something mechanical. It's impressive, but it's not mind reading.
Mm-hmm.
Here you draw a picture, and I went into, much better. I got upgraded at the hotel because I read the mind of the receptionist.
The clerk counselor.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Think about your best friend. Write it here on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
No, you hold it. I don't want to hold it. Yes,
put it back in your hand. Tear it up.
I see the letter R. She's a little bit taller than you. A little bit, yes. And she's not blonde. No, must be Christine. Wow.
I love that. So she get an upgrade at the hotel.
Yeah, of course. This is what I do always.
That is a great little scam idea, you know.
No, it's not a scam because they can upgrade you.
Sure, they have
but they don't want to upgrade you always. Mm-hmm. You know, they keep the upgrade. So sometimes you need to use your skills. You can come hello, and I love the book Schmoozing.
Yep, AJ.
He says he's coming to a hotel. Hello, how are you? Good looking and all this. I cannot do this.
And he has little tchotchkes he'll give somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not that character. Mm-hmm. But I can speak with her and let's see something interesting. And
funny enough, it's kind of like with whenever, that's how we got this quiet room where we are right now. When I was talking with the lady who was the teacher who had let us use this here. Long story, but basically I was chatting her up and we were having a nice conversation and you happened by and I said, hey, let's have a chat. And she said, well, I can help you with you. You need a room. She's overheard me saying we need to find a quiet place. She said, I can help you with that. But I was just being nice with her just because I'm a nice person.
So let me tell you that yesterday I came and asked, do you have coffee with milk? And she says, no milk. I said, no milk? Interesting. Okay. I asked her, give me your glasses. I did a flip with the loop of the glasses. Wow. Wait a minute. She went, came back after 1 minute, brought a big bottle of milk, put it in the freezer, and told me, whenever you come, I'm making something
just for you.
Yeah, so
because you'd done something special for her.
For her, yeah.
And made her feel special too.
And I paid her more.
Yeah.
It's not that I try to save money or something like that.
Yeah,
it's so we you didn't notice, but I came and she prepared something.
I did hear her say something about, hey, I got some milk for you.
Yeah.
And that was what that was about.
Yeah.
And it all kind of comes full circle now, I understand.
So I always like to help these people that you come and do something amazing for them.
Mm-hmm.
They have their life. We have an amazing life. We do magic.
We do.
For us, we know, we understand everything. We forget about the real magic because sometimes we are a technician. We are just doing something, and that's it. But for them, it's of course, most of us are doing strong and good magic. I always say, take it in mind that, you know, it's like a checklist that a pilot does before he's doing the landing.
Yes,
or
take off.
Sometimes I have a cheat list with smile, get more energy, think about the magic. And
that you're actually reading. And
I read it before a show, sure. Although I do.
You know to do that.
36 years in the business and doing it all over. I want to make sure again and again. Because, as I told you, I didn't want to do shows. I never saw a magician and said to myself, wow, I want to be there on stage. Or a singer that says, from the age of 8, I want to be on America Got Talent.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be that profession. Mm-hmm. And until now, I don't want to be in this profession. I don't feel like a real Blackstone or, you know, Kevin James.
Yeah. And all, magic all celebrity.
They are, it's in their life. Mm-hmm. I'm a... Now I can call myself a businessman that does corporate events.
Yes.
I love the business side and I love the show, of course. But going on stage, I'm not an actor. So okay. I do the real Leo Manon.
Yeah,
this is the
real
Leo Manon going on stage and the real... I don't switch to someone else and... I love making people happy. I love making people feel amazing.
One-on-one or one on a thousand, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and when they come to me and ask, what shall I do with my talent, I tell them, don't go and pay to anyone to do magic about your son. Go to a psychologist, go to a doctor. Never go to a priest or a rabbi or a psychic and pay them money to get help. This is what I tell them.
Yeah.
And trust your instincts or because they know the answer most of the time, but they need somebody like...
Professional level
for them to get the answer. So until now, I cannot lie to people because you can get more money if you...
Yeah,
you can take a lot of advantages, which I never did.
What's one of your favorite go-to tricks as far as impromptu? I was thinking about when you were talking, let's say, with a registration clerk or someone downstairs. I mean, doing a center tear or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there something that you might carry with you, or you do as an impromptu? What?
So I always have
loops.
A loop on me, and the story goes. That I can do the invisible touches, which always, again and again...
It freaks out people.
Freak out people, and together... You know, when I showed it to Tim Canaver, he didn't know about it.
Oh,
because
that was new
then. It was new because I invented it only in 1987, and nobody out of Israel. I came once to New York to the restaurant there in Madison or whatever where Harry Lorraine and all the guys were meeting every Saturday.
4F. Oh, no, I'm sorry,
in New York City. And they were doing, again, amazing close-up magic. And I did the invisible touches and a spoon bending in 1990 to the waitress.
Yeah.
She freaked out. She didn't care about all the other, but this one for her was the most amazing.
Sure. She's probably seen all the card tricks she wanted to, but to actually bend the spoon is.
And it took a lot of time until many magicians move and adapted also mentalism.
Yeah.
So I always have a loop, so I can.
Do you leave the loop on even when you bathe, and then or eventually it goes, or do you take it off every night, or when you?
You can take it off. I have hundreds of them, of course.
Yeah, me too. But I just often wondered.
Yeah, and so I do invisible touches, and then Tim Conover told me, you know, there is a guy by the name Banachek who is doing something with PK touches. You know, so since then started the. Combination of invisible touches helping the PK touches and many, many more possibilities and many more routines. And then the first time it was published, my invisible touches was in the Igal Mesika booklet about the loops.
Yeah.
Igal Mesika bought the rights from George Proust in France, which he bought the right from Finn John.
Yes.
So it was Finn John... had the right to produce them, and then Igal bought it and made it something really amazing. And I saw Socrate doing some touches, not with a loop, with an invisible thread that was hanging from his pinky to his thumb.
Yes.
Yeah. and the woman had her eyes open. So it was like a gag. She feel like electricity or static electricity.
Yeah.
And I thought it will be very interesting to do the power of darkness effect.
Oh.
So she will close her eyes, yeah, and she says that she feels, but the audience sees that I
sees
don't touch her.
Sees it different.
Yeah, and because of the loop, you can hold your hands
further apart,
or not the loops. You can take any ITR and
right
do it. So, and then I did it to give power for a spoon bending. Instead of just the spoon will bend in the spectator hand,
yeah,
the invisible touches added another layer. Do you feel something? Do you feel the energy?
Oh,
so for her,
so the double speak kind of a
yeah
thing too, sure
yeah, or the Himber linking ring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use the pencil because the pencil is a magic trick. If mm-hmm. you take three borrowed ring, or I take five, six, doesn't
yeah.
matter. I ask the spectator to choose two or three or four and open your hand. She's holding the three finger rings.
Yes.
Close your eyes. In a minute, you will feel something strange. And I do invisible touches.
And she will visibly...
Do you feel something? Yeah. She says yes. So for the audience, something is happening there.
Yeah, that's a dual reality. That's
yeah. Open your yeah. hand. She's freaked out because it's...
now
they are linked together.
Linked together, right.
Yeah, so it's not magic now. It's although it's magic, but for the audience, it's something like power. Many people don't believe that you can do the Himber ring this way. But again, Kreskin is doing it, and it's a very, very strong...
What do you use as your powers? I remember talking to Bob Cassidy at length about this many times,
yeah,
about whether you should have something when you say at the beginning, I really don't have these powers, we're just here for some fun. Is there a disclaimer you give, and then beyond the disclaimer, do you... What powers? Is it psychokinetic powers?
Oh.
Is it predictive?
There is a big discussion
yeah.
by the big names in mentalism.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot bend spoon and read minds, or you cannot do psychology, or
yeah. So what is your power? You can't be all powerful.
I can. I'm sorry.
You do. Okay.
I can.
You're Superman.
I can. No.
All powerful.
Okay. I'm not sure that the audience go deep into this discussion. It's more our side of the understanding and analyzing everything,
yeah,
because at the bottom line, people will have an experience after 1 hour of your show.
Right,
they will love you or won't, or will be amazed from you, or will say, "Ah, okay, he's good, but I saw something else funnier." Or no, he's good, but did you see the other guy? He can do A, B, C, and it. Or they will never see another mentalist, or they never saw another mentalist before you or after
good
you.
Good point.
But maybe they will see on television or on YouTube or on TikTok now,
mm-hmm,
or on Facebook or whatever. So I don't go into this discussion, and I can do some psychology, I can do some memory stuff, I can do some spoon bending. Yes, because when I was young, I was hidden by a lightning here on the back
of your neck.
I couldn't walk, I couldn't talk for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
After 1 year, I started speaking English, but no accent. I lost all the accent.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
No, I got this funny accent. So
oh.
I have many jokes around it, and it doesn't matter. You can tell people something, and later you can say, you know, it's the quantum theory power. If you look at circles and all this, wavy lines, this is something. And then after a week, they go, yeah, spoon bending is
a real thing.
You know, I cannot bend the plastic spoon because you need the metal. Only the metal has the molecules, mm-hmm, in the right direction that you can do the good frequency or whatever you say. People say, okay.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, because if you give them
good reasoning.
A good reason with a good solution that, okay, this is the way. Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, but, okay, I understand it. So they believe in the power that you sell them. And this is part of the magic sometimes. It's like, what, can I do coin tricks and not card tricks? I cannot do a vanishing ring to a car. I can do whatever I want to entertain people or what I bought on a Penguin last week, and I want to share it now with you. So it doesn't matter what kind of power.
I think being a mentalist has always been more difficult than being a magician, because being a magician, there are tricks you can buy that are, when they say you can buy it today, perform it tonight, quite literally, it's almost a self-working. Yeah. I mean, you just don't turn it on, walk away, but it doesn't require a lot of sleight of hand. On the other hand, as a mind reader, as a mentalist, you have to actually stand before basically a naked microphone and the audience with nothing but your mind, in which you're trying to convince them that I can do this and have these powers to read your mind or to bend this or to make that clock turn backwards or whatever kind of a thing. And that is something that is all presentation. It has to do with what you're saying. Yeah. To make them believe that, just as you were saying about, here's why I can't use a plastic spoon, it has to be a metal spoon because of da-da-da-da-da. And they're going to say, oh, that makes sense. But you have to do some research. And so you can't buy a mentalism trick and do it tonight. Yes, you can, but it's not going to be entertaining. It won't
Effective or strong.
There you go.
Or,
that's what I'm trying to say, exactly. Yeah. So it's more difficult, I think, to be a mentalist.
Yeah, you need to believe, although, again, many people don't want to reflect that they are mind readers. Mm-hmm. They want to say, I'm a magician that can do mind reading.
Yes.
And I think that that's why you don't need this disclaimer. Better leave out the disclaimer. Because, again, you are not going to heal people, and you are not going to take money from them, and you are not going to... So they are seeing a show, and it's okay to believe that... We are magicians. We want people to believe that our magic is real and strong and more than just a magic tree.
Which is why, going full circle to back what we started about the beginning, when people come up to you and say, after the show, can you tell me about my job? Can you tell me about my health or my parents or whatever?
It shows me that they...
That they were leaving what you're selling, basically, because you're convicted.
And of course, always get compliments about the humor, because they weren't expected the humor, because I look more than as a banker and not a mind reader or a showman or something like that.
Okay, yes, I
see
that.
So again, it's an advantage because I don't look as a showman.
Yes.
So their expectations are very low, which is better. I learned many years ago, they have lower expectations, and you give them something much more than they expected, you get a better reaction. And this is, again, a motto of me. When I was famous, it was easier to go on stage, everybody
and
in Israel.
And expectations.
They know you.
Seen you on TV.
You know, like Darren Brown or David Blaine. When he goes on stage, everybody, wow.
They applaud.
Yeah, but a normal magician or a mentalist, you go on stage, they don't know you.
You
start
yourself
from zero. So it's more difficult than somebody that
is... To win them over to your side.
Yeah.
As opposed to having them pre-won.
And the winning is stronger. Because Darren Brown is doing a great show, but for them, they know that they are going to see a great show. So the difference is not so high of having, I'm going to see something good.
That's interesting.
Okay, now I'm in a corporate event. Who is this guy on the stage? Well, why did they bring him?
Right.
After 5 minutes, wow, I'm blowing away. Oh, he's funny.
Right.
You know, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about all these people that are doing, they are not known, but they are flying and doing
successful.
All this and very successful because they do so many shows because they are very successful.
Right. Success breeds success.
Yes, yes. So you feel a little bit, it's more, you are going into a war because you know the 5 minutes will be difficult. But after these 5 minutes, you know that they are going to love you and will be with you. And so it's different, like table hopping. You start all over again every table.
Every table. Just like cocktail party, also, when you're going from group to group, you got to reintroduce yourself. It's like,
they don't care. Were very good 5 minutes ago.
I've always said that's the hardest thing about table hopping or cocktail working cocktail parties or whatever. The hardest part is to leave a group that you have just sold.
Yeah.
They now love you. Now you got to go start all over again. And that's the whole job, is every 5 minutes to reintroduce yourself and to build up that. And then it's kind of, once you got them, you know, when you're leaving, it's like they love you, which is why I like to do a cocktail party first and then be booked later as the after dinner, because then they already know, oh, this guy's going to be great.
And
they know you personally.
I also, when I did the cocktail parties, when I finished the group, I made sure everybody is applauding. So other people around the wall, the room, see, something is happening there.
Yeah, they look like they're having fun. So, I want some of that too.
Yeah, where is it?
Sure.
So it help you work better the next group, and or they are yelling like something. I say, if I find your car now, you are going to jump, and everybody is going to yell together. Let's rehearse it and all these jokes. Mm-hmm. But it's just that the second group will be ready for you.
That's right.
Since then, you don't need to do it. They will do it by themselves because they heard the first group.
But, how much fun they had, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, as we start to kind of wrap up over here, I always, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast. So I'm curious to know, what is it that's your philosophy of life? What is your, I don't mean necessarily magic word, but your phrase, or what is it that's important to you that you live by?
Be happy all the time. I think Seinfeld is my hero. I watch many episodes and behind the scene and the understanding. Yeah, I love this kind of humor. Mm-hmm. And my wife is a very serious person. Yeah. So we balance each other. Everything that I look at what is funny about it. What is funny about what happened today in the morning with the lady in the cafeteria?
Yeah. Yeah.
What if Kevin James did something? Always, it's impossible for me not to think about the world from a funny point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my philosophy of life. I don't like fights. I try to move away from people who try to fight all the time.
Don't need that negativity.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, they...
yin and yang.
Yeah, but so I try to avoid all these people, and all my friends are really nice people, and I like traveling, of course, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to fly all the time because of, again, that all these R&D centers in Israel and all the marketing and sales outside Israel, all these companies are... keeping me flying in 1A. And you know, flying in 1A, you get more miles. You get more miles, you can fly your wife and your three children.
Yep, with you.
And you are coming to places that I will never fly there if I need to pay the money, you know.
Right, right, right.
And you are coming to the best hotels and the best shows around. And so the magic life and all the magic community is amazing. I think 99% are amazing people, really.
Yeah.
From, and again, the professional and the amateurs are people from so many. Sometimes I sit with, like, I have 200 people in the society.
Yes.
Indeed. Again, like you hear, lawyers and accountants and somebody from the high tech and somebody, one is a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
They are really serious people.
Yes.
But when we sit together and do a magic trick, we are all children again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend, he's a dentist. I can go into his, in the middle when he's walking on the mouth of somebody. Oh, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
he can leave him alone just so we can have fun about magic. So it's something really, I've never seen something so amazing. It's this hobby.
This fraternity or the community we're in right now.
Never, nothing.
So your magic phrase would really be just be happy.
Be happy all the time.
All the time.
All
like
the
that.
Time.
Well, Lior, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It's been great.
It was,
good ideas.
By the way, this talk was exactly like me, jumping from here to there and there, and never complete.
That's because there's so much, and so we could go down any one line and spend hours on
something. We'll do another episode next time. I'll write a few topics.
Okay. We jumped around. Thanks very much, Lior.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. So until next time, that was Lior Manor. This is Scotty out.
Well, there you have it. Some inspiring words and quite an interesting gentleman. And I'm glad we had a chance to actually sit down and chat together. And I always like to take advantage when I can. And that was just a perfect time and place. I didn't know when we were ever going to get a chance to do that again. And just, as I said, the cosmos just seemed to be in alignment, I guess, again, for us to get to do that. So, Leora, thank you again for your time. This was really a lot of fun. And I hope that you, the listener, learned a lot there as well. And also, if you would please make sure you subscribe to our pod letter so this way that you get to know who it is that's going to be on our episodes from week to week. And that means not only who's coming on that particular week, but also who's going to be coming up the following week, as well as some suggestions from the archives. So this way that you can go back and hear again someone perhaps that you need to hear again, in my opinion, or someone perhaps you may have missed. So also, I hope that you enjoy the convention updates that I've been doing. It's been recently going, I've been going to a lot of conventions. I have another one I'm going to, which is the Tri-C's. It's the three C's. That's the close-up convention in Carolina, which is going to be taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina, coming up very soon. So I'll be doing a couple of episodes from there. And then the episode number 650 is going to be someone very special. And as I always like to have someone for the milestones, that is on the 50s and the 100s, of someone that I know you guys will all tune in to listen to. So if you subscribe to the pod letter, you will eventually hear who that's going to be, but I'll keep that a secret right now. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and remember to be happy always. This is Scotty out.